Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Vishnu Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Shatra Srimadesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Grantharat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10th. Chapter 10, Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna Trees, text 8. Shri Narada Uvacha, na hi anya jushtatam. Well, here it stops. Joshyan Budi Bramsham Rajagunam Srimadat Abhijhatyam Adhi. Yatra stri dyutam asava. Sri Narada uvacha, nahi antyo jushato joshyan, nahi anyo jushato joshyan, budi bramsho rajogunaha. Budi Bramsho Rajogunaha Srimadad Abhijatyadir. Srimadad Abhijatyadir. Yatra Stri Dyutam Asavaha. Yatra Stri Dyutam Asavaha. Sri Narada Uvacha. Nahi anyo jushato joshyan, budi bramsho rajogunaha, shri madad abhijatyadir, yatra stri dyutam asavaha, shri narada vacham, nahi anyo jushato joshyan, budi bramsho rajogunaha, shri madad abhijatyadir, yatrastridyutam asavaham. Nahi anya dushato josha. Buddhi brahmsho rajo gunaha. Anyo dushato josha buddhi brahmsho rajo gunaha srimadā vijatyate yatra sridyutam asavaha. Mataji, Shri Narada uvacha. Nahi anyo jushato joshan buddhi brahmsho rajo gunaha srimadada bijatyadi yatra sridyutamasavaha. Shri Narada uvacha. Narada Muni said, Nam, there is not. He, indeed, anya, another material enjoyment, jushtata, of one who is enjoying, joshyan, things very attractive in the material world, different varieties of eating, sleeping, mating and defending, defense. Buddhi brahmsha, such enjoyments attract the intelligence. Rajagunam, being controlled by the mode of passion. Srimadat, the riches. Then riches. Abhijatyu adhi, among the four material principles, attractive personal bodily features, birth in an aristocratic family, being very learned, and being very rich. Yatra, wherein. Stri, woman. Dyutam, gambling. Asava, wine. Wine, woman, and gambling are very prominent. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Is it Swami Prabhupada still? Yeah, it is. Narada Muni said, among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features, taking birth in an aristocratic family, and being learned. When one is uneducated but falsely puffed by wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, woman, and gambling. report. Among the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, people are certainly conducted by the lower qualities, namely passion and ignorance, especially by passion. Conducted by the modes of passion, one becomes more and more involved in material existence. Therefore, human life is meant for subduing the material, the modes of passion and ignorance, and advancing in the mode of goodness. Tadarajastamo bhava kama loba dayaschaye cheta etar anavidam stitam sattve prasidati. This is the culture. One must subdue the modes of passion and ignorance. In the mode of passion, when one is falsely proud of wealth, one engages his wealth only for three things, namely wine, woman, and gambling. We can actually see, especially in this age, that those who have unnecessary riches simply try to enjoy these three things. In Western civilization, these three things are very prominent because of an unnecessary increase of wealth. Narada Muni considered all this in the case of Manigriva and Nalakuvara because he found in them so much pride in the wealth of their father, Kuvera. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadah Maya Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsta Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Rapta Kanchana Gorangi Rade Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpata Rubyasha Kripa Sindhu Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Narada Uvacha Nahi Anyo Jushato Joshan Budi Brahmsho Rajagunaha Shrimada Madad Abhijata Abhijatyadir Yatra Stri Dyutam Asavaha. Narada Muni said, among the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features, taking birth in an aristocratic family, and being learned. When one is uneducated but falsely puffed up by wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, woman, and gambling. Here Narada Muni is pointing out that among all the different types of intoxications, that being intoxicated by the wealth is the worst one. Srila Prabhupada would say that nowadays people are pretty much intoxicated by different types of qualities that they might have acquired in previous lifetimes. But those intoxications, those qualities, how long they can last? They cannot last for a very long time. Just like any kind of intoxicating substance cannot keep one very high for a long time. That's like we know devotees in the early days, they would talk about being high forever. So intoxication, being intoxicated means it's not going to keep one very high. So similarly, this type of intoxication with wealth or any other qualities that might be and actually are misused, that they don't last. They don't last for a very long time. And therefore, one may find oneself in a completely different, undesirable, practically, situation. So therefore there Srila Prabhupada would point out these are just different types of intoxication: aristocratic birth, wealth, knowledge, beauty, any of those. And for that reason, Kunti Maharani would also point out that Janmaishwarya Shrutabhi Edamanam Adapuman, that any of those different kinds of opulences of qualities, if one is very attached to those and it's very proud of those, which is even worse, like here there is a whole discussion about the pride, being proud of the wealth, that one cannot fully surrender to Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot take to spiritual life. One doesn't become serious about the spiritual practice. So as long as those opulences or qualities are there and one is proud of them, then that prevents one from really tasting or even, what to speak of tasting, even before being able to taste any spiritual or having any spiritual realization. And one doesn't even surrender to the spiritual path. So the wealth and any of those qualities, actually they're not an obstacle in itself. They become an obstacle when one identifies with those and when one becomes very proud, as we can hear and as it is presented here in the case of Manigriva and Alakuvara. So that pride is actually what destroys practically every of those good qualities. There is a very beautiful pastime also of the Avanti Brahmana, and he explains how the wealth is actually very detrimental. It can be very detrimental in one's spiritual life, even material life. So he is explaining how actually, because of that attachment towards wealth and accumulating wealth, he actually was abandoned. He lost everything, and he was abandoned by everyone. So he was at the end pointing out that actually it is just the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he has been deprived of all that wealth that he was possessing, and that so that he was being able to take to spiritual practice. He said that the human form of life, it's so valuable and it is so rare that even, as we often hear, even demigods desire for it. And when it is misused for such kind of pursuit of wealth and then all the other negative aspects of it that followed with it, then that human life is wasted, and this is such an unfortunate situation. So he says that actually there, with the wealth, that there are 15 different undesirable qualities that are manifested. I'll try to recollect some of them. It's anger, pride, envy, faithlessness, theft, speaking lies. What else? Gambling, intoxication, different kinds of dangers that come in association with a woman. Anyway, some of those. So those are pretty pretty undesirable, very detrimental kind of qualities. So that all follows with wealth. Yeah, cheating also, yes. Stealing, yeah, theft, I said. So these are all such an undesirable qualities that actually follow along with that kind of desire to accumulate the wealth. And so he was pointing out that actually it was just the great mercy of the Lord that he has been deprived from that, because what he used his life for is just to accumulate more and more wealth. He didn't use that wealth for any spiritual activities. He didn't use this wealth to give it in the charity. He didn't use this wealth for his family. He didn't use this wealth even for his family, practically. He didn't use this wealth for anyone. He just used the wealth to accumulate more wealth. This is all that he has been doing, and therefore he was practically hated by everybody else. And then when he lost that wealth, and then when everyone abandoned him, and then everything has been taken away, and he was actually realizing, undergoing all different kinds of purifications, that actually this was all just a mercy, incredible mercy of the Lord. And therefore, there is the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam pointing out, which Srila Prabhupada would also mention, that when Krishna takes everything away from someone, that this is actually a great sign of his mercy upon that person. So, but of course, that might be in the cases when that kind of position, that kind of wealth might actually serve as an obstacle towards surrendering to Krishna. But when one utilizes that wealth, when one utilizes that wealth for dharma, for spiritual pursuit, then actually that wealth can be an asset, and it will be rightly placed, and it can be rightly utilized. But when it is misused, then actually, then definitely, therefore, it presents a very great obstacle towards any kind of spiritual pursuit. So when the wealth is not used for dharma, then actually it results in all such kind of undesirable qualities as just the mode of passion. Like here it has been stated in the verse itself, Rajaguna. Prabhupada translates it's being controlled by the mode of passion. So Rajaguna, being controlled by the mode of passion. So what is the quality of the mode of passion? So it just increases one's desire. It just unlimited, it produces unlimited desire. This is what the mode of passion is. Just unsatiable. Just having more and more and more, like they've been asking. I've been many times, many wealthy personalities that, when is it enough? How much more? And it's never enough. They always want more and more and more. That greed is just unsatiated. So always more and more. And what is also interesting, that here the word buddhi bramsha, such enjoyment attracts the intelligence. So we see that intelligence and the senses also are both born from the mode of passion. So both have connection in the mode of passion. But if they're used like this for sense gratification, then if intelligence is used for the sense gratification, then that's something that leads towards degradation. That's not something that it's elevating at all. Of course, when it's used for Krishna consciousness, when intelligence is used how to acquire something and use it for Krishna's service, then that's something that it's elevating, that it's something that it's purifying. But when the dharma is used for artha, that's something that is the most degrading. And then again, that's the point where one misuses the human form of life. One doesn't utilize the valuable opportunity of human intelligence. So therefore, that intelligence and passion, in passion, and then the senses also, which are born from passion, there is a connection between them. But that shouldn't be misused. That should be utilized for spiritual practice. Because if just one seeks for certain kind of artha, for certain kind of enjoyment, for just some sensual pleasures, then that's something that, again, it's just unwanted from the higher principles of life. And if one is using artha for dharma, then this is something that is beneficial, that is positive. So one actually has to use dharma not for the artha, because we see many times people come and they just keep on praying Arto Jigyasur Artati, as Krishna would state in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. People pray, one of those who approach Krishna is those who are in search of wealth. Of course, they are not very sincere, because as soon as they gain something, they pretty soon forget about the Lord. It's very rare that anyone really remains serious or really seeking to surrender to Krishna. So that kind of pursuit just for practice of dharma for the artha it's not so satisfying. It's better, of course, than not to practice any kind of dharma at all, but it's not considered so elevated. But actually what is more elevating and what is more beneficial is that when artha is used for the dharma, because artha is the lower principle and dharma is the higher principle, and when one practices dharma, then actually artha follows automatically. The example is given of a cow and a calf. You don't have to separately tie and hold the calf, but when one just goes along with the cow, then the calf will also follow automatically. So in that way, similarly, the artha follows the dharma. And then we see that people who don't have dharma and they're just utilizing artha, just spending it more and more for sense gratification, that then very soon they lose that wealth. Then that wealth is taken away. When wealth is not utilized for glorifying Krishna, just like we know in the example of Ravana and Srila Prabhupada saying that the Sita, that all the devotees are just like the monkey army and should bring all the wealth and all the resources that the Ravanas are holding back to Lord Ram. So then this is what actually happens, that then that Lakshmi and that Sita, it's pretty much misused for sense gratification and actually leads to one's degradation. Whereas when it is used for Krishna, which actually and rightly should be done, then it helps one also to advance in spiritual life, of course, reestablishing our relationship with Krishna and placing that Lakshmi where it belongs. Because if that is not the case, then definitely then there is that degradation that takes place and one loses that valuable opportunity, even to that degree of losing the opportunity of the human form of life. So dharma has to be practiced in such a way that whatever comes as the side effect, like all these different kinds of opulences and all the other opulences mentioned here, like bodily features, taking birth in aristocratic family, knowledge, and even some opulences as such, they all have to be used in Krishna's service. Otherwise, if they are not used, then one will degrade oneself. So all the wealth here that Mani Griva and Alakuvera have been practically misusing, it is just because they didn't value that wealth. There was an interesting incident that happened. It was once in New York. At that time, one of the most wealthiest personalities, Rockefeller, he and his son were staying in different hotels. And that was noticed, of course, by the reporters. So they interviewed Mr. Rockefeller, saying that you're staying in the 3-star hotel and your son is staying in the 5-star hotel. So then they asked him, could he comment on this? And then he said that his son, he doesn't value that money as I do, because he was born in that wealth. Whereas I worked very, very hard to obtain that wealth, and I know that value of that money. So, but he doesn't value it so much. He's just taking it for granted practically, and therefore he's just spending it almost practically indiscriminately. So this is something that when we are presented with something, or when we are gifted with something, but we didn't earn it ourselves, then we don't value it so much. Like, for example, now we are utilizing the benefits of this whole setup that we are having here in Krishna Consciousness, Radharas Bihari Temple, and we don't value how much effort and struggle and surrender had been required earlier to come to such position, to come to such kind of environment, to have such kind of facilities, like those devotees in initial days who have been surrendering and sacrificing practically everything to create such kind of facility. So then many times that is that danger that we actually take things for granted. And then actually what happens if we don't have that kind of appreciation and gratitude, then such kind of facilities tend to be misused. So this is what one has to be pretty much conscious in his spiritual life, not to take anything for granted, and understanding where such kind of facilities and opulences rightly belong. So then when we understand that everything belongs to Krishna and should be utilized for Krishna, then of course that has to be practiced. And then one is saved from any kind of danger of actually undergoing any kind of reaction for misusing anything, or even worse than, as I said, even sometimes slipping down from this valuable form of the human existence. Because this is again what people are mostly, they're just interested. They're interested in wealth. That's all. So just having material facilities. But then if there is no higher consciousness, then all of that tends to be pretty much misused. And then one degrades oneself. Like in Mahabharata, we know that the whole destruction of the Kuru dynasty happened why? Because of that greed for the wealth. Pretty much for that greed for the wealth. And one of the expansions of that wealth is actually Draupadi. Because she is the expansion of Dhana Lakshmi. All the people come and they to the temples and they pray and they worship mostly Lakshmi. Pretty much they're more just interested in Lakshmi, 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 Lakshmi. But that Lakshmi actually, that expansion of Dhana Lakshmi or Indrani, actually that's a Draupadi or Indrani, yeah. Or Draupadi, both. Draupadi is an expansion of Indrani or Dhana Lakshmi. So, but it's not the original Lakshmi. Original Lakshmi belongs to Vishnu, of course. So then, so who wanted Draupadi? You know that so many times Karna also, and even Duryodhana and Deva Swayamvar going on, they were so bitter about Draupadi having rejected them. And of course Duryodhana just missed the target for just for a very small achieved it, but he just missed it for a very small, how would you say? Huh? I can't hear. Huh? Slightly, okay, slightly, yeah. I'm just a little tired anyway, just a little, this marathon, so I'm just trying. Okay, So then the whole actually pastime of gambling took place because of that desire to gain whatever Pandavas have been having and whatever Pandavas have achieved. And one of those was definitely Draupadi. And Duryodhana was very, very desirous of achieving Draupadi. And then the whole misconduct actually that happened during the gambling match was just that expression of that bitterness that Duryodhana had towards Pandavas, that he had towards Draupadi. And therefore that led to complete destruction of the Kuru dynasty, because of course Draupadi was a great devotee of the Lord, and by offending a devotee, this is what happens. Then practically everything else just perishes. And this is very interesting, that when the whole gambling match was about to take place, and Vidura and everyone advised Dhritarashtra, and even he was kind of pretty much weighing upon the whole circumstance and that desire of Duryodhana to arrange for such kind of match on the urging of Shakuni. And the Dhritarashtra was also very, very undesirable of creating such kind of facility and inviting Pandavas for that match. But still, Duryodhana was kind of, he was very insisting, even to the point of saying, then what is the use of me living? Then I will practically threaten almost with a suicide. And then Dhritarashtra agreed. But of course, nobody else did. Vidura didn't. Even Gandhari, she condemned the whole idea about having that kind of gambling match, because definitely they knew that it will create complete discord and conflict between the Kurus and the Pandavas. And at that point, Gandhari, she very interestingly made a statement. She said that the wealth earned by unfair means, it will not be long-lasting. But the wealth which is earned by the righteous means, it will last for a generation. So this is exactly what it happened. So any kind of greed for the wealth, and like we see, Duryodhana had that kind of greed too. And how did all this happen? When he was touring the palace of Indraprastha, especially Maya Sabha, which Maya Danava created, and of course Vishwakarma created everything else, when he was just looking at all the opulence, he was just becoming more and more envious. He just couldn't tolerate the wealth that Pandavas have been. And they built a hole in the Prast out of nothing. They've been practically given just the desert. But because they had that dharma, they had that they had that dedication and surrender to Krishna, and they were so righteous. So we just see from dharma, all the artha was manifested. So they didn't have to separately endeavor for any artha. They just had dharma. That was sufficient. So from dharma, everything else became manifested. And then Duryodhana was touring, just looking around, what is this, what is this. He was just kind of pretending that it's not so important, it's not so significant, but actually from within he just couldn't tolerate. And of course he was faced with certain challenges within that palace, which was very embarrassing. And then while he was leaving, Shakuni was driving the chariot, and then he was deeply seeing like this, and then he was very, very disturbed. And then, of course, Shakuni asked him that, my dear prince, what is the reason for your such kind of display of negative feelings? And then Duryodhana opened up and he said that actually I just can't, that they have so much wealth, and he was just, she just couldn't tolerate. He just couldn't tolerate that. And then Shakuni proposed, then why don't we gamble? And in this way, by those means, we take all the wealth from the Pandavas. And even when they were gambling, what was interesting, when Yudhishthir was staking all kinds of different wealth that he had, and chariots and maidservants and this and elephants and gold and coins and this, whatever, everything else, on behalf of Duryodhana, Shakuni was also kind of staking equal amount. But actually that was a big question, whether just by the words of Duryodhana that was accepted. But Duryodhana never had such kind of equal amount. That was also another type of cheating that was going on during that whole gambling match. And then Dhritarashtra was always just very eager to hear, did we want this, did we want that? And even when Draupadi was staked, then you know, he asked kind of, did we want her? So And it was very, very inappropriate. So all that greed and all that wealth that was displayed by Duryodhana was actually just the path towards the destruction. So we see it, and then these kind of circumstances where when one finds oneself in the course of practicing spiritual life, and then some opulence will come, like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, Nadanam prays. He states na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. I don't want any of those, because definitely all of those will come. But then even if one practices spiritual life, all of that will come. It's just inevitable. With dharma, all of those will manifest. But then the point is, how does one, this will be, and this is practically pretty much each and everyone's individual challenge, then how to deal with this. Because it will come in terms of either facilities or position or opulences. It will just become manifest. As one is practicing spiritual life, one is practicing dharma, all of this will become in some way manifested. Gross level or even in a subtle form. As a, you know, lava puja or pratishta. So then how does one deal with this? Like, you know, example of Madhavendra Puri, for example, fame that followed him wherever he go. But he used it. He used that for acquiring sandalwood paste for the pleasure of the Lord. Not for himself. He didn't take any or utilize any facilities as such or whatever. So in a similar way, devotees have to be very cautious how to, even when presented with any kind of things as such, how do they utilize it? Do they utilize it then for their own sense gratification, falling back into the mode of passion, and being in the mode of passion like we see here, Manigriva and Alakuvara, or they use it for the pleasure of Krishna? They use it back, they offer it back where it really belongs. So this is actually our challenge then when we are advancing in the spiritual practice. Then if any facilities appear, then how do we deal with those? And we see that so many cases in so many last decades that many times devotees have been somehow tested also. And there were all kinds of different consequences and undesirable pretty much many times. And that affected their spiritual life. Because we know that like when the Kali manifested himself, what was the first place that Parikshit Maharaj granted Kali to stay in? So there is so much Kali there, so much influence of the Kali in the different kinds of facilities, in different kinds of opulences. So then devotees have to be very cautious. Srila Prabhupada pointed that even if one penny practically is spent for one's own sense gratification, one will be responsible for that. Yeah. If it's not utilized for the pleasure of Krishna. So here we see that therefore this pride that Manigriva and Alakuvara exhibited was actually that degrading pride, and being compassionate towards them, Narada Muni stated that all of these riches really bewilder one's intelligence, and actually to benefit them and to release them from that kind of mode of passion, he actually, in the form of curse, blessed them to be deprived of all of that, so that they can also get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and advance in spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Kama Esha Krodha Esha, out of all the material enjoyments, it is lust actually, which is the all sinful devouring enemy. So of course it's a loop, like, you know, it's here it is said it is wealth, and because of wealth it will engage in the wine woman. So, but then how do we understand whether, is it because of lust, because of all, like we see this example of Duryodhana also, because he became lusty to enjoy Draupadi, and that's how, you know, because he missed, and that's what you explained. So if you can clarify it.
What is the greed and anger are the byproducts of the lust. So lust is always, what is lust? Lust is perverted quality of prema, of love. So lust is just in that sense, when we come to material world, it's just the first undesirable quality that is manifested. And then from that, everything else follows. So yes, first is lust. We have the lust to enjoy the material world. And then the wealth is manifestation or facility that enables us to exploit the material energy.
In the beginning you said about this Harishyata Dhanam Shanai, how this material wealth, when Krishna becomes very pleased with someone, then he takes away. And then in the end you were explaining about this this action of greed, how this Shakuni and all this Duryodhana, they become greedy and all. So we want to be little materially stable. People, they, you know, talk about that, you know, Krishna should not take away everything from us. Otherwise, how it will become very difficult for people in general. Of course, Prabhupada also was wondering at one point of time that how come all of my businesses had been taken away. It was later that Prabhupada was just reflecting back at how did it happen that, you know, Krishna took away. So Krishna is very merciful like that. But in general, when everything has been taken away, people feel not very much favored by Lord. So how to make understand us that at least people in general, that for that material stability some wealth is needed, and that's how they are encouraged to do more dharma, so that eventually they get at least some artha, if not greed and all.
Well, there are two ways one can react when something like this happens, when Krishna takes things away. And if one is pious, he will turn towards Krishna. If one is impious, he will blame Krishna and become more atheistic. So whenever anything is taken away, or either by karma or by Krishna, this is what is going to happen. So two types of reactions will be there, depending on piety or impiety, one's own personal qualities. So when one is pious or devotional, then he will see that as Krishna's mercy. And if one is not, he will see it, it'll just go against the Krishna, even though he might be practicing so-called piety or dharma or whatever. So one will read, there'll be these two different types of reactions. And it's interesting that Shyama Sundar Prabhu, he pointed out that actually he proposed to Prabhupada that I want to become very wealthy and then I want to use this in Krishna's service. And then Prabhupada replied that actually I thought the same way, but Krishna had the other plan. So Prabhupada was telling him and pointing out actually that's not such a good idea. So it's better to surrender and just try to push and preach more rather, and then Krishna will send the facilities rather than first kind of looking for the facilities and then thinking how to use them in Krishna's service.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you very rightly said, explained that how by doing dharma, the artha will follow. Nowadays we see that people, they take inspiration from the West. Whatever the Westerners do, they try to imitate. And surprisingly, Western people, they are not following dharma, but they are becoming opulent. And the world pursues their path. So how to see that?
Well, any opulence that comes, that's due to pious activity. So if they are not performing that piety in this life, like I said, Gandhari said, then that won't last for a long time. That will be gone. That won't go for generations. And that means that they performed pious activities in previous lives. So that's why they have some facilities and opulences now. there's that information that during this pandemic that 16 greatest American billionaires, they doubled their wealth in the course of last several months. And on the other side, so many other people lost their jobs and so many other things going on. So anyway. So they're misusing. They're misusing. But that's the whole point. That opulence, it won't last. Maybe at most for one lifetime if they have that piety from previous lifetimes. And that's all. It won't last further.
Prabhuji, as you mentioned in the last part, that this facility which we have right now, and we have not gone through those struggles, so we are reaping the fruits. So in this situation, when a sadhaka like us, we have so much facilities and many times opportunities for sense gratification comes, and there is no one to look around. That time, that determination, if it is not strong, we succumb to it. And it comes wherever we go for book distribution or preaching. Nowadays, people have become so respectful. They talk so nicely, they give donations, and everything becomes so easy. Earlier, they used to struggle so much for distributing one book. Now, in just one call, we distribute 100 books. And then rest of the time, we have, I have done my part. And I have time. So then we have so many facilities, mobile, computer, everything. And we are weak, spiritually weak. So we tend to fall for it. So kindly give us some practical tips which we can do for daily basis, which will strengthen our determination and not let us fall into these traps.
It's always going to be a challenge. So again, like what Prabhupada would say, even when one has facilities, he should spend that immediately for glorifying Krishna. And nothing should, I mean, it's like a brahmana. He pointed out that who is a brahmana? Brahmana means he gains wealth and then he'll use it to whichever extent he requires, and whatever is excess he'll distribute. So in the similar way, whenever there is some opulence there, and then devotees should immediately utilize it for big festival, for any in any way to glorify Krishna. So then again they're on zero. Yeah. Then they keep on again struggling again to bring Lakshmi back and again use it for Krishna. So nothing should be kind of stored, basically. That was the Prabhupada's formula. Okay, it's getting a little late. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.